right. Good afternoon. Thank you for choosing us over lunch. That's very kind of you. and on the last day, it's even more meaningful, I think. I'm presenting research today that we have done. This is funded by HRSA, Maternal and Child Health Bureau, and I did this work with my colleagues Kathleen Thomas and Christiana Williams at the University of North Carolina, the Shep Center, and also Morgan Crossman, who's a doc student at Brandeis. And I'm talking about autism and families' financial burden, trying to understand how financial burden is associated with health insurance coverage. My disclosure is I do not have any relationships, which is sad, isn't it? So just a bit of background, which many of you are very familiar with this. We know certainly that the medical care needs of children with autism spectrum disorders are exceptionally high. They are elevated in contrast to those of children with other special health care needs. The autism-related healthcare costs are very high. There are a number of different teams that have looked at this using different kinds of data, and the conclusions are all the same in that kids with autism use more services, they use services at greater intensity, they use a diverse range of services, and they are expensive to their families. We know certainly also from other work Michael Kogan and his team have done that families who are raising kids on the spectrum incur a high financial burden, both directly related to the children's health care costs and for other kinds of services, educational and behavioral, some of which are sometimes integrated into health care services and sometimes, of course, they're not. In work that my team has done, we've found that families, in fact, experience the amount of financial burden that they experience is related to the generosity of their state Medicaid programs, and we've looked at the issue of insurance parity, whether or not states are mandating private insurers to cover autism-related services, and we've found that the state you live in really matters, and families are incurring reduced burden in states that have passed the insurance parity legislation, which of course continues to unfold as advocacy advances across the country. What we know also is that kids with autism who are covered by Medicaid, you know, typically receive more services and have better access to autism-specific services in comparison to kids with autism who are privately insured. And certainly we also know that private insurers often exclude autism-related services, which, of course, leaves families on the hook to pay for care. And, you know, the fact that families are responsible is what, of course, has led to the advocacy that has passed the parity legislation in, I think we're up to 31 or 32 states right now that have passed parity legislation. But what we really don't know from the literature is some of the details about the relationship between family financial burden and health insurance coverage. So how are families faring depending on whether or not their child has private insurance or is insured through Medicaid? And then the second thing that we were interested in looking at was what were the most prevalent healthcare expenditure types that families were incurring for their children with autism. Okay, and so the data that we used for this study, we pooled data from the medical expenditure panel survey for the periods 2000 to 2009. And the reason that we did this, of course, was to generate a large enough sample for analysis. And I can talk a bit about some limitations with this. The MEPS data are nationally representative of U.S. non-institutionalized civilian households, and the data that are available on healthcare spending are particularly good, which is why we went with the MAPS. But we have really specific and detailed information on health service expenditures and utilization, finances, need for care, and the MAPS pools data from households as well as information from medical, you know, on the health spending side. So it's a very detailed source of data for us. So across the pooled years, we were able to analyze data for a sample of 316 children who were reported by a parent to have autism or an autism spectrum disorder. And this is just a table that describes the characteristics of the sample. Most of the children in the sample were younger than 14, consistent with past research. Almost 90% of the sample was male. Relatively fewer African American children or Asian children and Latino children as well. We see relatively higher rates of education than in the general non-disabled population. Families headed by a single mom, this is about 12% of the households were, which is lower than the general population. And you can see here that the median household income is $65,000, so this is higher than the general population as well. And this is consistent with past research David Mandel and his team have done, Paul Shattuck, to describe and understand the characteristics of families. And almost a third of these families, these children, lived in households with income below twice the federal poverty level. And just to remind you, this is the U.S. Definition of poverty for 2013. I think it's right around $22,350 for a family of four. So that's the federal poverty level. Twice that would obviously be $44,000 and change. So these are families, a third of families are living with real challenges meeting their material needs. So our independent variable of interest is the insurance type. And we had a hierarchical process for assigning insurance coverage. As you know, sometimes there's churning into and out of insurance. So for the period of the past year, children were classified as whether they had ever been covered by Medicaid or the SCHIP, whether they were never covered with one of the public insurers but with some other kind of public insurance, and then if they were privately covered or uninsured for the entire year. And, for those of you who know the health insurance, I mean, it is challenging because kids are changing and do have, there is some transience into and out of these insurance types. Our dependent variables, we essentially had two variables that we were interested in. The first was just a binary indicator of whether or not the family had any out-of-pocket expenses. This included co-pays and any other non-reimbursed payments for health care. So this would not have included if an employer was contributing toward the health insurance, those payments would not have been included. So this is a burden to the family or costs that were incurred by the family. And then the second measure that we looked at was this notion of relative burden, which is the spending that a family has relative to their own income. And what we know from past research is that as family income goes up, spending also goes up. When families are able to afford more, they spend more. And what we know on the other side of it is that the costs of raising children with autism are much higher for lower income families as costs eat up more of their disposable income. So we looked at this. There are a lot of different ways of thinking about this, but we looked at this as a percentage of per capita family income. So in a family, what was the percent per man, woman, child, or whatever family configuration that had, what did those expenditures represent? So for our analyses, we used two-part regression models. We used a straight logit to model the likelihood of having any burden or any out-of-pocket expenditures. And then we used ordinarily squares regression to model relative burden, again, a continuous measure of spending among those who had burden. And then we also, of course, use log transformation because financial spending here burden is highly skewed. All dollars were adjusted to 2009 for inflation, and we did the appropriate weighting and accounting for the complexity of the MEPs. So descriptively, what we found is that 82% of families reported having any out-of-pocket expenditures for their children with autism. And this is fairly consistent with other research that's been done in work that we did with the National Survey of Children with Special Health Care Needs. We found a rate of 78% of families reported any spending. So this is, I think, a fairly stable estimate. The mean spending for the year was $730, and the median was $215. And then the mean relative burden, so this is spending per thousand of income, was $9.70 across the sample that had burden. The median was, of course, lower at $2.60 per thousand. And so I just want to present a bit of this graphically. We were interested in understanding how spending is different for families at different income levels. So what you're looking at here on the left, I don't know if my pointer's working that well, starting to fade. So on the left, these are families who have income below twice the federal poverty level. And again, that's our measure. Poverty researchers generally feel that a family needs to have income above twice the federal poverty level to achieve adequacy, essentially. And so what you're looking at here is Medicaid-insured children are the light blue on the left, and their median out-of-pocket spending was $171, not different from the kids who had private insurance, who are shown here in the darker blue. So if family income is below 200% of the federal poverty level, we're seeing, essentially no difference in the level of spending on the basis of insurance, if we stratify by insurance. And this is among families who reported having some form of spending. So the 18% of families that didn't report spending are not included in this. And then what you're looking at over here on the right is the pale blue, again, are kids who are Medicaid or SCHIP insured, and the dark blue is children who are privately insured. And we see a much higher financial expenditure for children who are privately insured, of $623 for the privately insured children, and then, just under $300 for the Medicaid-insured children. Again, this is for families who reported having some expenditure. And I want to just share with you what we're interested in understand. Wow, okay. New Jersey mode, it's going to get faster. So what we were interested in understanding is what are the primary costs or the primary sources of spending for these families. And so what you're looking at here, the pale blue, again, represents kids who had Medicaid or SCHIP, the public insurance side. The dark blue are the privately insured children. And the percentages represent the proportion of families who reported having expenditures in that category. So far left, this is prescriptions. So among the low-income families, below half of them reported spending for prescription drugs, whereas 70% of the privately insured families had spending for prescription drugs. This next set of columns is the families who had income above twice the federal poverty line. More than half of them reported some spending for prescription drugs, and nearly 80% had spending on this if they were privately insured. And what you can see, just a quick view, if you look across, is that in all cases, the privately insured kids, more families of privately insured kids were experiencing or reporting expenditures in these categories. The three most commonly reported categories were prescriptions, outpatient care, and dental care. Okay. All right. And just quickly to turn to our regression results, we did multivariable modeling, adjusting for income, race, age, severity of impairment. And in contrast to the publicly insured children, we found that, first of all, the privately insured kids were much more likely to have any out-of-pocket expenditures. And second was that the privately insured children had about a 2% higher expenses relative to their own family income. Limitations, the study, of course, like all of them, does have some. MEPS is fantastic in many ways, nationally representative, but the fact that it's nationally representative means that we were not able to analyze state-level variability, and we know that there are significant differences in state Medicaid programs, and other work that my team has done has certainly found that state Medicaid program characteristics really are associated with how much spending families incur. So we need to do more work to understand that. The other thing is that, you know, we don't know that MEPS is necessarily representative of kids with autism, but, you know, we still found this to be a valuable first look at this issue. We note here that the median income is high, and, you know, there's probably some conservative bias in our findings of relative burden. Pooling the sample across the years to generate an adequately powered sample, of course, is problematic. We know there have been changes to Medicaid programs during this time, which we don't have the capacity with these analyses to understand. And I think that, you know, again, further research is important. And finally, like all of the national surveys, this is reliant on self-reported, parent-reported diagnosis of a child's autism. There's no clinical corroboration in this. So in summary, families raising kids with autism who had private insurance coverage were much more likely to have out-of-pocket spending, even after we adjust for a host of sociodemographic characteristics and severity of impairment. And consistent with past research, families who have greater income spent more of it on their children's health care than families with lower income. Among families who were low income, there were not significant differences in the level of spending, if we stratify those families by insurance type. And finally, financial burden for families who have middle and upper income was just markedly higher for privately insured children than it was for kids with public insurance, and that was true across the entire sample and among those who had out-of-pocket spending. So certainly the implications are that we're concerned about the costs that are incurred by families who are raising kids with disabilities, kids with autism, particularly concerned with those who are privately insured. It seems like there are important gaps that policy needs to address. Here are my references. I know you can speed read that. And I would just like to acknowledge my co-authors, Kathleen Thomas, Christiana Williams at Carolina, and student Morgan Crossman at Brandeis. Our funding was provided by MCHB at HRSA, as well as my institute at Brandeis. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.